From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we begin today with the short video social media platform TikTok. It's incredibly popular, especially among people in Gen Z and younger. But it's also owned by a Chinese company, and there are fears about what it means to potentially have such a deep and direct link between that company and the Chinese government and millions of American smartphones. Officials at both the federal and state level in America are once again considering a nationwide ban on TikTok. The idea was originally proposed by President Trump in 2020, who cited national security concerns. But this time, there's a lot more bipartisan support. TikTok has already been banned from government-owned phones and computers, federal-owned phones and computers, and many state governments and state universities are following suit. There has yet to be a statewide move in that direction in Illinois, but suburban Chicago Congressman Raja Krishnamurti has co-sponsored legislation that would ban TikTok across America. Joining us now to talk about what that ban could look like, or what an Illinois ban could look like, is Sumesh Philip, Associate Professor of Cybersecurity at Illinois State University's School of Information Technology. Thank you so much for being with us today on The 21st Show. Welcome.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. Do you use TikTok in your life, or maybe a young person in your life uses TikTok? I myself had to set a parental limit on my own phone to keep me from falling down a TikTok rabbit hole, which I had done a few times. We want to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. So, Sumesh, let's begin with the app itself. What kind of data does the TikTok app collect from users?
Well, obviously, you know, we don't really know much about exactly what they store in the back end. Clearly, they have user content. They have got information on the device that you're using to connect to TikTok service with metadata, with usage. And if you read the fine print and really didn't go too much into it, it looks like the app can collect, you know, several things about you and the device and how you interact with it. So at least that's roughly what I know of it. But, you know, as with anything else, you don't really know exactly what's going on in the back end with some of these policies that companies use in order to promote their businesses and grow their businesses.
Yeah. I understand you're not an avid TikToker yourself. I myself have never posted to the platform. We did, though, take an unscientific poll among students at the University of Illinois, where our program is based, asked for their thoughts on what a TikTok ban would mean for them. Let's listen to some of those responses.
I wouldn't really care.
You use TikTok?
I do.
So why don't you care?
I mean, it's just losing an app.
I would be really shocked because I feel like it's a really like popular app that like every student is like part of.
Oof. Personally, I wouldn't care. I don't use it, but I'm sure a lot of people would.
And how would you feel if Illinois banned TikTok?
But why are they doing it? TikTok is a app where, you know, people could get on there, have fun, laugh, you know, release themselves. Why y'all want to ban TikTok? I would be more than upset. I would be hurt, distraught, you know?
Those answers were compiled by Anaya Jones, our intern. Thank you for that. Sumesh, as a professor, what do you hear from your students about this possibility of a TikTok ban?
You know what? It's interesting that you brought up those conversations. I had some of these in my classes yesterday, and the reaction was pretty mixed, as you could tell. I have two boys myself that I talked to yesterday, and they didn't seem to care one way or the other. So from a, you know, a younger generation perspective, perhaps they don't, you know, really see the security aspect of it. They see the content and how useful that might be. Clearly, there are content makers on TikTok there that are doing this for revenue, and they do make, you know, good videos. So I'm not a TikTok user, but I had to get on it this morning just to see what the hoopla was all about. There's definitely a lot of interesting things on it. I can tell just by, you know, spending 5 minutes on it, and you can just keep scrolling and scrolling forever. So whatever algorithm they're using to promote their videos, it's definitely working. But yeah, the reaction seems to be pretty mixed in terms of the ban should happen or not from my students as well.
Yeah, it is a mysterious app, right? Because it's different things for different people. I know somebody who watches a lot
Absolutely.
of air fryer videos on it. For other people, it's attractive people doing exercises or something like that. I mean, it's one of those things that's a million people can get a million different experiences.
Yeah, and I know there's a lady who makes Excel videos that helps people learn Excel and things like
Oh,
that.
not
So
yet.
yeah, it's definitely it's got a use for it.
All right, we got a text from Ryan in Champaign who said, "We need privacy and data laws and enforcement across the board. Banning one app at a time isn't useful." So let's talk about what exactly is on the table here. What can you say more about that federal ban that Illinois' Congressman Raja Krishnamurti is co-sponsoring?
I'm not exactly sure exactly what the bill says, but roughly, at least Raja's viewpoint is that TikTok's business should not be operating in the U.S. At least our data should not be going abroad to servers in China. That's probably the national security reason as well. But beyond that, I think if you really think about it, all the apps that we use every day, they are collecting data about us, Facebook, Google. And there are episodes where some of this data was compromised or sent abroad where they were analyzed by companies that were not US-based. So, there's evidence of that. And so I think the caller texter is absolutely right. We need to have stricter laws in terms of how these companies operate on our data and how they share with other companies and things like that, for sure.
How would a ban work from a technological standpoint?
Well, from state perspective, they probably would just not allow state phones and devices that are on their networks to actually install the software. That should be easy enough to do. And networks will not support data transfer from state-owned phones to TikTok servers. Those IP addresses or websites will be blocked from getting access. So those are probably the initial steps where people will be discouraged from using TikTok on office networks and so on and so forth.
And this would not be unprecedented. I'm reminded when I was way back in the Stone Ages, when I was a student at the University of Illinois, that campus banned Napster from
Right.
campus-wide access, which was one of the early illegal music file sharing apps before we had.
Absolutely. Yep. I remember that.
What do you think also? So one of the other, and let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with Sumesh Philip, who is Associate Professor of Cybersecurity at Illinois State University School of Information Technology, about the possibility that TikTok could be banned. The federal government, there's legislation to consider this. Former President Trump called for this, but we are seeing a number of states as well, and state universities that have banned access to TikTok, citing the threat of, well, cybersecurity concerns, potential espionage, corporate sort of intellectual espionage. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. There have also been arguments, Smesh, about that the Chinese government could use TikTok to suppress criticism of the Chinese government or maybe influence the American election. As you mentioned, it's got a rather mysterious algorithm that is pretty effective at getting people to stay engaged. What do you think about that, TikTok as a potential source of misinformation or discontent in America?
I guess anything is possible. So, if history has taught us anything, well, it has happened in the past. Facebook data was used to manipulate, the election, and so there is a possibility that that might happen. Clearly, it all depends on the viewership. TikTok is definitely a fast-growing app with about, a billion users behind it. So, they anticipate that a quarter of the world's population will be on it by the end of this year. So there's a lot of influence an app like TikTok can, give on the population. And so, at the end of the day, I think the consumer has to understand, what these apps are doing. Clearly, they're free, so our data and our interests are really what we're offering up in terms of using these apps. So, it calls for responsible use of the app, ensuring that we don't put out content that's irresponsible. feed into content that could lead to issues with security and things like that. But yeah, there's a possibility, but will that happen? Well, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, free. I see they're free in air quotes, right? And you remind me of one of my favorite lines right. from the technologist Jaron Lanier, and the sort of thinker who said, if you're not paying for a software product, you are the product.
That's right? absolutely that... correct.
Yeah. I guess there are also concerns. I talked about suppressing criticism of the Chinese government. There was a news, somebody tweeted at us, Paul, this morning, that there was a news site that covers on the ground in the Palestinian territories and that they were banned from TikTok. So I guess there's concerns of censorship as well.
Right. I'm not aware of the story, but if that is indeed true, there's definitely a possibility of that. Clearly, there's content suppression from the Chinese government side. Clearly, many of the sites that the U.S. companies operate, like Facebook and YouTube and Google, they are banned on Chinese government networks. And the great firewall that blocks all those outgoing requests clearly is an indication that there's content separation happening. So could it happen to TikTok? Possibly. There's definitely a case made for that. But again, at the end of the day, I think the marketplace will react to how some of these companies operate, and hopefully the problem will take care of itself. Even if you look at smartphones, our smartphones that Google and Apple operate, clearly they have lots of data about what we do and how these this device are being used. But as an alternative, there is an operating system for smartphones, Graphene OS, that's privacy oriented, does not reveal all that data about us. So at the end of the day, I'm hoping that there will be competitors that will come out with apps that are probably more secure and safer than TikTok is the only option.
I want to play another voicemail we got from a listener. This is from Ricardo in Urbana.
We're falling into a trap of thinking that the United States is not doing the same already with its many, many, many more apps.
I guess that's about sort of vacuuming up information. What do you think about that argument that other social media platforms such as Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, are they safer, quote unquote, because they're based in America?
Again, from a national security standpoint, probably better than having TikTok on a different country. But at the end of the day, we do not know what kind of information is being collected ultimately by these companies and exactly who they're sharing with. And if, like I said, history has of any evidence, Facebook data was given out to companies beyond the US soil and were analyzed by companies that were not US based. So, could that be possible? Most likely.
And even if it's not the data being taken, I mean, we've seen foreign governments use those platforms to try and sway elections by,
right, exactly.
Or at least sway public opinion.
Absolutely.
So let's bring this to a concrete level. If people out there are listening, they use TikTok, how do they safeguard their data and privacy? We got a text from Christina in Rock Falls who said, I do not and never have installed the TikTok app on any of my devices because of the privacy concerns. I still get plenty of content through Facebook and YouTube Shorts, so no great loss in my opinion. What do you think about that? What are either the workarounds or ways to use it in a safe way?
Yeah, I don't know if you can really. I mean, unless you have a sandbox environment where you can monitor exactly what the app is doing, there's really not much you can do. And the moment you click on those I agree buttons that these companies make you sign, my opinion is that you lose all sort of control over the data that you hand over. It really depends on, I guess, your concern level. So with a cybersecurity hat, and I consider TikTok as malware, well, I don't want this app on my phone, period, right? But if you're a responsible user, maybe just use it for viewing videos and not put out content that's irresponsible, maybe the way to go. And so, making sure the app doesn't have permissions to use things that it doesn't need, clearly those are things that you can do. Again, there's little control over the user once that app is installed and it's operating in the background.
You said you checked out the TikTok app recently. Did you feel comfortable downloading it onto your smartphone, or do you have a brother phone, or how did you do that?
I did not put it on my phone. I used my, you know, work computer to log onto the website and check it out. So I had half the experience, not the full experience of a TikTok app.
Okay. Maybe that's it. We'll just use incognito windows to browse TikTok from now on. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Simesh Philip is Associate Professor of Cybersecurity at Illinois State University. Thanks again for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking with author Jed Purdy, who makes the case for a major expansion of direct democracy in America. His new book is called Two Cheers for Politics: Why Democracy is Flawed, Frightening, and Our Best Hope. That's coming up after a short break. I also want to mention you can, if you enjoyed today's segment or you want to share it with someone or anything from our past, you can find it on our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also subscribe to our podcast and use those links to share with friends. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search for The 21st Show. But again, you can find all that on our website, 21stshow.org. Author Jed Purdy coming up after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.